from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of chametz, verbal destruction. When it comes to chametz, we notice an interesting thing. On one hand, we're supposed to get rid of our chametz, tashbitu so'orim batichem. On the other hand, one of the things we do to get rid of it is to verbally destroy it, to say, kol chamir v'chamir yigibushuti, any chametz or leavening product that I have in my possession, let it be batel livtil, let it be like ownerless, like the dust of the earth. Now, how does that work? How can you simply verbally, just with words, destroy something? So firstly, what does the Torah mean when it says, tashbitu so'orim batichem, ach b'yom ha'rishon, but on the first day you should destroy the chametz? Rabbis say it's not on the first day, it's the day before Pesach, but you should destroy it. What does it mean to destroy chametz? So Ramban says, clearly the Gemara says it's havara, it's burning, because the Gemara says that, well, you can't burn it on the first day, because that's yontif, you don't burn stuff on yontif, so it must be the day before. So apparently, destroying is burning. We have a debate as to whether it's supposed to be burned, or supposed to be just destroyed in some other way, or Yehuda against the sages, should it be burned, should it just be crumbled and thrown in the ocean? But there's some sort of physical destruction. The Ramban says that's the main destruction. Rashi, the Rambam, the Targum Onkelos, the translation, all say that no, you know what it means? Destroy the chametz means you should tivatlun, you should annul it. The main destruction is in your heart. That's what it means. It doesn't say you should burn it. It says you should just make it cease to exist. How do you make it cease to exist? It's like, poof, you say, it's no longer existence. That's it. But how does that work? What does that mean? So Rashi says that somehow it's some kind of a verbal destruction of it. However, the Tosfos says, no, it's a hefker. It is simply declaring that it's ownerless. You see, Rashi thinks that this is some sort of special law for Pesach. Maybe it's reminiscent of the laws of idolatry that can be annulled. We learned that if there's an idol that a Gentile has, and he says, I don't want this idol anymore, I'll throw it away, he spits on it, throws it down, knocks it over. At that point, you can take the gold, you can melt it down, you can use it, because he's annulled it, he's turned it into nothing. Maybe it's one of these special laws of Pesach that somehow you can verbally destroy something. That's Rashi. But Tosfos says, there's nothing special over here. Anytime if I take this bottle and say, I don't need this bottle anymore, I finished it, I'm going to throw it away. Anybody can have it. You want it, you can take it. You can always declare your property ownerless, and then that works. And once it's ownerless, then you don't own the chametz. So then you don't possess chametz. So then it's done. It's a matter of the laws of monetary laws. Since it's no longer monetarily yours, therefore in the laws of Pesach, you don't violate possession of chametz. But it's not a special law. By the way, how do you do it? Do you have to do it verbally or just in your heart? The Gemara often says, Yavat lo balibo, you should annul it in your heart. The Jerusalem Talmud gives a specific text, very similar to ours, the Kol Hamira, V'chamira Dikadushuti, that anything I have in my possession should be annulled. The Rambam speaks of doing it with words. At times the Rambam seems to mention in your heart. Surely we generally do it with words. If you can't, you do it just in your heart. Again, if it's declaring something ownerless, probably have to say it. But if it's something special about chametz, about Pesach, maybe it could be done in your heart. Now, but still, how does this work? How does saying that it's not chametz make it not chametz? I mean, if there's a granola bar stuck in my pocket in my jacket somewhere, in my closet somewhere, or if the kids stuck something in the bottom of a toy bin, there's a hamantash in there, how does the fact that I say, oh, this is no longer, it's considered dust. Who cares if I consider it dust? It's still delicious. It's a wrapped granola bar. It's delicious. You could eat it. It's no problem. So how does that change the granola bar? So the Ramban says as follows. The truth is, it's not really that granola bar, it's not yours. You can't eat it. You can't sell it. You're not allowed to do anything with it. So in what sense is it yours? Yisurana are not mamon. He says something that's forbidden to benefit from. In what sense is it even worth anything? In fact, the Talmud says, Rabbi Yishmael says, that really, it's not really yours. But the Torah says, guess what? It's going to be yours. If you don't get rid of it, I'm going to consider it yours, and you're going to be in violation. So that granola bar is not really mine anyway, because I can't eat it, I can't sell it. But the Torah considers it to be mine. But all I need to do is simply to declare that, you know what? The Torah says it shouldn't be in my possession, and I don't want it to be in my possession. So there's a hatama. There is an overlap between the Das Torah, in the words of the Ramban, the desire of the Torah, and what I want to do. I don't want it to be in my possession. The Torah doesn't want it to be in my possession. And once the two of us agree, then it's not mine, because it already is not mine. It was just a technicality that it was mine. The Ritva believes that, he believes that it is a type of hefker, it's a type of declaration of ownerlessness, but usually hefker has to be done in front of three people, it has to be done more formally. But how does it work here? He says, since it's not really yours anymore, all you need to do is just remove yourself. You see, it's already not yours, but I have this like thread that's attached between me and that granola bar. So what I do is, I just misalik, I just remove myself from the ownership of it, and boom, this no longer is connected to me. It's not that it changes what it is, but it's just not mine anymore. The idea that you could do something with your mouth, with your words, rejects it. He says, you can't change it, something that's bread, and say it's not bread just because of your words. It doesn't make sense. But the Ralbag says no. Ralbag is a commentary, he's a philosopher, but he happens to say something very significant about this law. He says that since you own it, as long as you own it before Pesach starts, part of your ownership is to say whatever you want to do with it. If you want to, you want to eat it, you eat it. If I say I don't want to do it, to me, those prune hamantaschen are so bad, I don't have anything to do with it. I don't want to eat that at all. And once you say that, once you declare that, then it really is, because that's part of your ownership, is to say stuff about it and declare what it is and categorize it and make it what it is. And to the point that it's no longer bread. To me, it's dirt. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I can't stand those chewy granola bars with the chocolate chips. I can't stand those things. I don't want to have anything to do with it. To me, it's dust. I don't want to have anything to do with it. There is an extreme position of the Michtam, Reb Levi, in Arvona of Narbonne, a Provençal commentary. He quotes someone who he totally rejects, but it's an interesting proposition that when you declare it null and void, you can even eat it. If I'm eating something that I consider to be yucky dust, then it's not really eating. Of course, 99.9% of rabbis reject that position. It's not true. But interesting to the extent to which some people imagine that this power to declare something has so much effect that even if I eat it, it's not even chametz. It's no longer, it's not bread. It's whatever I said. It was dust. I'm eating dust. We don't agree with that, but it's an interesting extension of this radical kind of idea. This idea of the power of the mouth, the Hasidic mystics say that it's very much connected to what Pesach is all about, because it's Pesach. All of a sudden on Pesach, the slave who has no voice, suddenly his voice is heard. Suddenly his children are asking questions. Suddenly he's singing songs at the splitting of the sea. Suddenly he's kraxing vayanchu b'nei Yisrael avoda. The Jews begin to sigh. Just that beginning of the verbalization to just simply sigh, to not accept the sevel, to simply accept the troubles of Egypt, the troubles of slavery. That itself is the beginning of the redemption. The power of the mouth, the power to transmit the Exodus from generation to generation, the power to complain to Pharaoh, the power to complain about your oppression, to not let it just slide. This is what Pesach is all about. And therefore it's appropriate that on Pesach we have a mitzvah that can be conducted with the mouth. Because that's the power of the mouth, the power of verbiage, the power of what we say. This human condition, the whole human condition is predicated, as my father of blessed memory used to point out, is on the Ruach Mamala, as the Unkula says, on this spirit of being able to speak. That's what God gave us. And this power of speech can make us free. Free from all oppression. Doesn't matter what our station in life is. With our words, with our thoughts, we can free ourselves. And therefore, on this holiday, God tells us to destroy chametz. He doesn't use the word destroy. He says, make it stop existing. How? With your mind, with your words. Words can have powerful impact. Let us hope that this Pesach, we can begin to open our mouths to not accept things that shouldn't be the way they are, and to speak out against that which is wrong. Hopefully, this power of the mouth we'll use for good, not to, God forbid, harm others, or speak slander against others, be hurtful to others, but use the power of speech for the good, to annul the evil, to try to battle the evil in this world with the power of speech. Thank you very much for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth El Emeth Congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome to join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha, the various holidays are coming up, and how-to videos as well. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.